Post-game live, Titans lose 35-14 to the New England Patriots. The Patriots are headed on to the AFC Championship game. Jared Stillman, former Titans receiver Chris Sanders. We are here. Go ahead, turn your mic on, Chris.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we got
hey,
you.
Hey, what's going on?
Former Titans receiver Chris Sanders. Once again, Titans lose 35-14. I'll go ahead and give out the phone number. Your reaction as soon as we get it, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll have Mike Mularkey and Marcus Mariota at the podium when they get there. Chris, your initial thought, Titans are done, 35-14 to the New England Patriots. Let's start with the Titans and then I guess kind of get to the officiating stuff and so on and so forth. But your initial thought from the game today?
You know, you look at it and you're disappointed, you know, with the loss. You're disappointed with some of the things they did. But the only thing you can go from here is just building. I mean, they have a chance to get better. We talked about Corey Davis. He needed to step up. He made two great touchdowns. So, you know, even though they lost, they wanted some errors, and they just got to keep getting better and better. You know, the only thing I don't want to get in today or tonight is I don't want to get into talking about the coach because everybody – I done looked on Facebook and everybody's talking about getting rid of the coach. Let's don't do that. Let's build on the positive. I know they played terrible. I know the offensive line didn't play well. I know the defense was gassed. But, man, let's focus on the positive and help this team get to where they need to get.
Well, I think the coach – I mean, I think that was decided last week.
Right.
I mean, I'm not trying to sit here and we'll get the calls about people saying they need to fire the coach, and maybe they do. I don't know. Right. I would not fire the coach.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
But, I mean, I think certainly there are staff changes that probably need to happen with the Titans, and that, but that happens all the time. I think my thing with this game, I'm kind of torn.
For
starters, I had no expectation of the Titans winning this game. In fact, I thought they were going to lose it by more than they did.
Right.
So I thought it was going to be worse than it was. And, you know, nobody expected the Titans to win this game. My thing, though, is I kind of felt like they quit. You know, I kind of felt like watching them in that second half, they got the ball to start the second half. When they couldn't do anything with it, they kind of quit. Down 21-7, three and out, start the second half. I just kind of felt like they quit.
I don't. I'm gonna have to disagree with you just a little bit, and you know, and I respect what you say. I just think that we just saw that the Patriots is just a better team. I mean, if you look at, I'm not trying to skip forward, but look at our defense. Why was so many big plays happening? Because our defense was gassed. You just saw a mature team, which is the Patriots, and you saw a Tennessee Titans team that's not mature in the playoffs. I'm not talking about age wise, but just. You know, you just saw a team that can make plays and used everybody collectively. And if you look at our roster and you look at the Patriots roster, in my opinion, we have the better athletes, not quarterback or tight end. But if you look at other areas, we have better athletes. But as you're looking at a complete team across the board from offense to defense, special teams, that's why the Patriots win, because they're complete in every facet of the game.
I mean, I still think the play that changed the game, and I still think this totally changed the game, was Brendan Trawick either jumping off sides not jumping off sides. But, I mean, you go back to that play.
Gosh.
It's third down and long, or it's third down, or fourth down, excuse me,
right,
at, like, the Patriots 6-yard line or the 9-yard line or something like that. And it's 14-7. You get the ball to start the second half, so you're going to get the ball back with 6 or 7 minutes left to go in the second quarter. And then all of a sudden, there's a call on the Patriots, and then it's called on the Titans, and it gives Brady a new life. And then the next thing you know, it goes from a 7-point ball game at 14-7. And the next thing you see is you see the Patriots go down the field and make it 21-7. And at that point, it kind of felt like it was over. I thought the Titans early in this game, the Titans had focus mentally on, like, every snap, every responsibility they had. They knew where they needed to be on offense and defense. And then that bad call, the Decker offensive pass interference call, those things kind of added up. And it was like once the Patriots got comfortable in that game, made it 28-7, the Titans, I just think mentally they shut it down.
I don't
expect them to compete with the Patriots. But you got to play through every snap, and the Titans just couldn't do it. And mentally, they couldn't keep up with New England either.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think they were mentally tired from the game last week?
No, I just don't think they're mentally – I mean, they mentally didn't play a half last week.
I mean, I agree.
So, but, like, they're just not mentally tough enough to beat New England. Pittsburgh is really talented, right?
Right.
Can't beat them because Pittsburgh is not mentally tough enough to beat the Patriots. Pittsburgh has good enough play. You talk about the Titans having better players, Patriots. Pittsburgh's got better players than Patriots.
Right.
Pittsburgh can't be mentally tough enough in order to do it. That we didn't see that out of the Titans tonight. And it was, to me, I mean, I thought Robiskie had a couple good series.
Right.
I thought the play calling really, you know, once again was back to its old tricks. The young receivers, I know Davis had two touchdowns, but Jonnu Smith comes in, creates a bunch of penalties. Taywan Taylor does nothing. I mean, look, either this draft class sucks or the coaching of this draft class sucks. I don't know which one it was. But I did not expect the Titans to win this game. So I'm not sitting here by any means like everybody else. This is what was supposed to happen. They were 13.5 point favorites.
I mean, they were, but I mean, the reason why I thought the Tennessee Titans were going to stay in it because they had momentum from the Kansas City game. But when you're going against the Patriots, you can't make mistakes. You can't have somebody jump off sides. You can't have a holding. You can't have pass interference. You can't do that against a team that will kill you. And I just think that, you know, Tennessee Titans around the board, they wasn't a disciplined team on offense, and it kept Brady on the field. So when you have things like that, when you're making mistakes and doing the wrong thing, Brady's going to capitalize it. It's just like a dog just waiting to hunt, and that's exactly what happened. They made mistakes, and here goes Brady throwing touchdowns left and right.
Well, and again, you know, I don't know about the Trowick, the jumping off sides on the punt. I just thought that was a bad call. I thought the offensive pass interference on Decker were bad calls, and those, in a game like this, those are game-changing calls. And I'm not here to rail on the officiating because I picked the Patriots to win 41-13. Like, right. I thought this was going to be a blowout the way that it was. But it just, any shot the Titans had, I thought completely went out the window because I thought they got jobbed. I mean, I thought they got jobbed in the first half. That Ron Torbert crew. I mean, first of all, Ron Torbert's crew's terrible during the regular season. I don't know why he's working postseason games. Right. I guess they have so many bad refs out there that they just have to run them out there in the playoffs. But, I mean, that Ron Torbert crew is awful. And, again, I don't think officiating is why the Titans lost the game. But I think it cut off any chance they really had there. And it just, you know, I think the question has to be asked here. Mm-hmm. You know, now that we are where we are, we know how far away the Titans are from winning the Super Bowl. I mean, we just saw it.
Right.
You know, they are probably a ways away from being able to compete for the Super Bowl. I mean, what has to change now in order to get to close that gap?
I think, and I don't even believe I'm saying this, but I think something's got to change on the offensive line. I mean, you know, you have Taylor DeJuan and Conklin, but I think your guard play, you're going to have to find some nasty guards that's going to be physical and really protect Mariota. Because, I mean, if you look at today, the offensive line played okay, but they were not that punishing, controlling the line of scrimmage guys that we saw last year. And I just think that something's got to change. I mean, if you look at how many times Mariota was getting hit, he got sacked 8 times, and he was getting harassed the whole night. And if you look at Henry did absolutely nothing. He reverted back.
Henry
to where he was,
sucked.
Because he kept trying to bounce it outside. You cannot bounce the ball outside. I mean, I'm not a running back. I'm a wide receiver. But I know that if I'm a big boy, I'm a big running back, and I'm physical. Even if I get hit initially, I'm still trying to dive for 2 more yards. I can't outrun guys in an NFL because they're smart and they're going to control the edge.
I just felt like the offensive line too in the second half.
Oh man!
I mean, you would know better than I do if the Titans quit. But I mean, Mariota at one point dropped back, got sacked on first down, second down, and I think he kind of just dumped it off on third down. I mean, I mean, the offensive line, the front seven of the Patriots is not that good.
But the thing about
franchise record of sacks for the Patriots.
But they play hard, and we always talk about that. At the beginning of the year, Malarkey always talked about we're going to be a physical offensive team. We're going to have a physical line. We're going to have a physical defense. If you look at the whole game, who was the physical team? The Patriots. The Patriots was hitting us in the mouth as opposed to last week when we were physical and we took it to Kansas City Chiefs. Now, when we got hit in the mouth, we didn't respond like I was hoping us to respond, and we really didn't respond at all.
So that's how we're starting off post-game live. Get the calls in now, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The Titans fall to the Patriots 35-14. What did you think out of Marcus today? I mean, I know a lot of people are going to trash him.
No.
And they're going to look at the stats of the season, and they're going to say that he wasn't good enough or whatever it may be. I mean, I thought Marcus early in the game, I thought Marcus played okay.
I did,
you know,
too.
I thought Marcus, especially on that drive, you know, he had a couple of really good throws.
Right.
And then in the second half, he just couldn't get any time. I mean, the line just didn't block. hard for me to look at Marcus today and put it on him, but I thought Marcus played all
right. I thought he played pretty good. I mean, especially, you know, the touchdown that he threw to Davis. I mean, the ball was on the money, but it all starts with the line. The line didn't protect him. I mean, they gave up 8 sacks. And I don't know if it's because Conley got hurt and he had to leave, but there was no I don't want to say unity, but there was no camaraderie when they were blocking for Mariota, because people were – didn't I tell you on earlier today that they were going to be sending guys different places? Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened. They put pressure on Mariota, and he had to get the ball out fast, and he was uncomfortable the whole time. And that all starts with the offensive line.
Offensive line was awful. The offensive line struggled. And then, I mean, the other thing too, we talked about the officiating, and that certainly didn't help. But, I mean, something that just absolutely killed the Titans. The drive before the end of the half, you're down 21-7, you're moving the football, and then you use your timeouts in just the worst fashion.
Yeah.
And then you get 4th-and-1, you hand it to Henry, and he loses 5 yards.
Offensive
line. It made
line.
No sense to run the ball. It literally, I mean, because if you run the ball, you got to run up the line, clock the ball, and then you almost have to try to throw to the end zone. So that didn't make any sense. So the coaching, but my thing is, like, Mike's always been bad at managing the clock. So you just have to live with Mike. You know, Mike gets you a good culture, but he can't manage the clock. That I guess I'm okay with. Henry's got to be able to get that 1 yard, at least keep the Patriots off the field. I know they didn't score, but again, I go back to the punt play. The punt play was the play. It's 14-7. You get the ball back to start the second half. You're going to get the ball at about the 50-yard line. You've got some momentum offensively. You get a good 3-and-out.
Right.
And then, I saw the replay. I saw Romo say how bad it was. I don't think Trowick jumped. I thought their guy jumped, and it should have been a punt, and the Titans should have had the ball at about midfield, maybe the 40-yard line. And now it's a 14-7 game, and that's different than the other side of it. So coaching today for the Titans could have been better, but you know, a lot of people are going to say, what are they going to – they had no answer for the running backs. We knew coming into the game the Titans don't have personnel to cover running backs. They're the worst in the league at that for a reason. Right. Then you're going to get on coaching about the clock management. I can't defend the coaching there. But then the officiating was just – I think all three did them in – and the offensive line was just so bad.
But I want to go back when you was talking. Yeah, you just said the offensive line. But I think, too, we had a ton of third down and 15. Third down and 15, 22. Third down and 25 or 22. You can't make first downs like that. And then it just takes Henry out the game, and then it's pressure on Mariota. And I just – I don't want to crush the offensive line. I just think that I expect them to be better. I mean, you got Conklin, you got LaJuan, you got guys that are – Pro Bowl guys that you're not doing anything, because he was getting harassed all day long, especially in the second half.
LaJuan got beat back-to-back
three
plays.
Times.
I mean, look, you're just not good enough to beat the Patriots, and you had to play a perfect game. You didn't play a perfect game. You got no help from the refs, and you didn't coach well. I mean, at the end of the day, that's why you got blown out. Let's go to the call. 615-737-1025. We will go to Mike Mularkey's press conference when Mike gets there. Rashad is going to kick us off on Post Game Live. Go ahead, Rashad. Rashad.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, man. I think we're playing a really good game, but I think what really killed us is I think we had a chance to win, but once the referees changed the whole game, I think that killed us. I think the Decker call and then the punt, where it was, I think it was a false start.
Mm-hmm.
I think that really changed the whole game, and that killed us.
I think it's the punt. I appreciate your call, Rashad. I think he's right. I mean, and this was my thing, was early in the game, it looked like they were going to let this game be physical because Brian Arakpo was getting held on every play. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was swinging around the corner, the tackle was grabbing him, and they didn't call anything. And I thought, okay, they're going to let this be a physical game. Then they called the OPI on Decker. I mean,
that's the only one that I really disagree with. I mean, as a receiver, you can use your hands. He didn't grab him or anything. We called this a swim move. We kind of swim and let the goal guy underneath us. And I think the ref saw something different. Maybe he saw him at the initial contact where Decker did something. But as a receiver, I didn't see that he did anything wrong. But I want to go back to the caller. I mean, everybody's going to complain about the refs. I just looked on Facebook and looked at all these media stuff, and everybody's talking about the refs. We can talk about the refs all day long, the Tennessee Titans still have to make plays. The offensive line still has to block. The defensive back still has to make plays. The quarterback still has to throw the ball. You know, the New England Patriots, they didn't have a bigger penalties as the Tennessee Titans, but they still came back and overcame adversity. And I think with the Tennessee Titans, when they have adversity, they got to learn how to overcome the adversity.
Again, Mike Mularkey's press conference, when he gets there, we will go right to it. In the meantime, we go back to the calls, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Mike is up next on Post Game Live. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. So, a comment on the end of the Falcons game. I feel like they should
get to the Titans. Get to the Titans, Mike.
Yeah. Well, so the Titans game, right? Like, same thing. I feel like they should have run the ball more. You said earlier in the week, Garrett, right? Like, you run the ball, you be physical on offense all the way through, you commit to it, and.
Hey, Mike, I hate to do this. I'm going to cut you off. Mike Mularkey at the podium right now on Post Game Live.
All right. Kind of give you an update on our injuries. We, Janu and Jack, both with knees. I'll know the extent of that more when we get back into Nashville. Marcus with a strained quad. And Klug returned from a concussion. In the first quarter.
How much did it hamper him and factor into things, do you think?
It had an impact, obviously. Had to get out of some of our scheme that we had with him, with our zone scheme.
Something he did running.
Yeah.
Did you have an explanation on the reverse approach with?
No. By that point, I got tired of the explanations I was getting. So no, I did not.
How much of a momentum change, or how big the sequence is?
There was more than that one. I mean, there was many things that changed that. But obviously, they went down and scored a touchdown. And so I'd say it was pretty big.
Young team, what do you think these guys take out of this experience?
They're really good experience. They got a little taste of what it is to be in big games against really good football teams. You know, I said it before, I said it all week, really can't make the mistakes against a really good team. They're waiting on you to do it, and we did. We accommodated them with a lot of mistakes. I know offensively, and then we couldn't get off the field defensively. But it was good experience for – we got a lot of young guys playing, I mean, a lot, in a really big game, and it'll go a long way for them.
Did you take the calls out of it? Do you think the explanation from the Reds on the Decker OPI call?
That one I won't even talk about. That one goes down in history.
If you take the calls out of it, do you think you measure up to them?
Or no, you know what? Not if you don't play better than we did. I'll never blame officiating for costing us. You know, we got to play better. There's no question about it.
Like early, late in the first half, you ran. Were you thinking convert and then spike?
Yeah, we're gonna clock it. Yeah. We're going to clock it.
Pass rush on both sides seemed to be a big story. They got you eight times.
Yeah.
Really get Brady off the spot.
No, they did a great job with their line games. We struggled to pick them up. And, again, when Marcus was hampered there, it was tough for him to get away and escape like he had earlier in these last couple games. And then, that's their passing game. It's a quick passing game. Get the ball out of his hands. We were close a couple times, but we couldn't get off the field with that. I'm trying to think of what his completion. I don't know what his completion percentage was, but I'm assuming it was pretty high.
You guys did a pretty decent job early taking Gronk away, but it seemed like they burned you a lot with the dumping down to the backs and things like that. Was that just?
That's their offense. That's their offense. I mean, that's how they operated their offense that they have all year. Well, first and 15 every time we turn around, kind of hard to get into a rhythm when you're trying to get 15 yards for a first down. I mean, that had a huge impact on us, obviously, moving the football.
Corey Davis's play encouraging?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot. It was great to see him do that. It was great. That was great for him to have that experience and have that production in a game like this.
How much did that help him maybe going off season and going next season?
Can't hurt.
What's this tell you about where you measure up against defending Super Bowl champ, number one seed?
Pretty much what I said, that they don't make a lot of mistakes. That's why they've been successful all these years. You can't go in there and beat yourself. I'd like to see if we play a real, you know, a complete game where we measure up. But it's hard for me to do that since we didn't.
Tough performance from Derrick Henry after setting franchise record, you know, a week ago. What does he need to do better or differently to have some success?
Let me look at the film before I start making comments about that.
I know, Mike, you have another round with tomorrow, but what do you tell the team in the locker room after getting much?
I'm going to keep that amongst us. I'm just very proud of them. Very proud of – there's a lot of good things we did this year. Probably won't hear about it. But they did. They did a lot of good things. And hated for it to come to an end. I did say that. It was a good story being written, and just sorry that it had to end like it did.
Mike, is frustrating an apt word to use when facing the Patriots, and if so, why?
No, I mean you know, again, very disciplined football team. And it's not frustrating. This is the way you got to play. You know going in, and if you don't, you know your success rate's not real high. So we knew that going in, and got to be better.
What did the Patriots start to do to change the momentum in the second quarter after they had fallen behind 7-0?
Well, their execution of their passing game was the quick game. They were doing a good job getting down to the backs, slot receivers, just high percentage throws. You saw some of the plays that Brady made. I mean, pretty tough to defend when you make some throws like that.
Aside from tonight, how much did injuries slow Marcus down during this year? How much was that source of some of his problems?
Normal wear and tear of a season, and when there's injuries with your quarterback, you've got to be smart with them. You need them every week, and Marcus played through a lot of bangs and bumps, and I appreciate his. I mean, he's a tough quarterback. He's very tough. But obviously it did affect us.
What was going on with the offensive line, giving up as many sacks as you did?
I'd say not good enough in execution. You know, did a lot of line stunts, a lot of games, things we've worked and they've worked and they've handled. We didn't do a very good job tonight.
Mike, you excited about the future of where this team is?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I do. I like this. I like where we are. I mean, I liked the prep for us, what we did going into this game. I'm disappointed that we didn't play better because I thought we were ready to play, and they were. They were prepared to play. They just disappointed for them that we couldn't make a better game.
Thanks, Coach. We're gonna
bring Marcus in. That was Titans Coach Mike Mularkey at the podium. Jared Stillman, former Titans receiver, Chris Sanders, post-game live ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let's take 10 seconds for station identification, and then we'll get to Marcus Mariota at the podium.
Locally owned, WPRT-FM Pegram, 97.5 Murfreesboro, WBUZ HD2 Laverne, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Marcus Mariota at the podium on post-game live.
Not sure.
What are you feeling right now?
Man, embarrassed. You don't play to come and lose in a divisional playoff. You know, you play to go win the whole thing. And just didn't execute, didn't make plays. They did, and they're moving on.
What can you take from them, Marcus, maybe moving forward into the offseason, hoping next year?
Well, I know hopefully people use this as motivation. It's nice to get in the playoffs, but you don't play to just get in. Especially coming in the divisional playoff and losing the way that we did.
What does this performance tell you about where the team is and what you need to work on to improve?
I think we have a lot of areas to improve. I think throughout this entire season, we didn't play a complete game of football. One phase plays well, the other one doesn't. And again, tonight, we just didn't make enough plays.
How many
game like this help Corey maybe moving in? How well did he play tonight? How much did it help him?
He played well. Made a bunch of big plays. That first touchdown was an unbelievable catch. That's what we expect out of him, and he has that ability to make those plays game in and game out.
How did they manage to turn up the pressure in the second half, and how hard was it to get away from some of that?
They did a good job. They had a guy spying me kind of throughout the game, trying to keep me within the pocket, and you got to give a lot of credit to them. They covered well and just wasn't able to get the ball out.
You lost to a good team, obviously. I mean, how much does it show you maybe how this team needs to improve, I guess, moving forward to get to that level?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously this is the blueprint. New England's been in the playoffs consistently. They've won a bunch of championships. We can learn a lot from this, and I think we will.
95-yard drive to take a 7-0 lead, was that in any way a confidence builder at some point, knowing you could go down the field and score?
Yeah, I mean, it felt like the momentum was on our side. Again, you got to give a lot of credit to them. They're a team that's been here before, understands the situations. They didn't blink an eye, and they just kind of stuck to their game plan, and it worked out for them.
Did your game plan change once you tweaked the quad?
I wouldn't say that.
Was it frustrating for you, Marcus, to get that early lead and watch the Patriots come back that way and you guys have to get their momentum after that?
Yeah, I would say it's frustrating. Tough way to lose. Again, you got to give credit to them. They've consistently been that type of team throughout, and I'm sure they'll make a run at it.
Why do you think you guys weren't able? That this loss went way beyond multiple questionable calls by the refs, but still, what kind of role did that play in losing some momentum?
You got to play with it no matter what. You can't allow those things to change the outcome of the game, and you just got to focus on your job and let them do theirs.
Why weren't you guys able to put together a full game this season?
That's a great question. And we've got a lot of time to reflect on that. And at first glance, I'm not sure. But, again, hopefully we can correct that just kind of get every phase playing at the best that they can.
What changes do you think are needed for you guys to be better next season?
Well, on offense, I think it starts just on third down. We can't get in the rhythm when you're not converting third downs. And especially in the red zone, if you're not efficient down there, it's tough to win these games. So I think for us, that's probably where I'd start and look at how we can improve in those areas. And from there, just kind of see what else we can do.
How soon do you start preparing for 2018?
I'll take a breath. It's been a long year, just with rehab and recovery and all that stuff. So I'll just kind of take some time, but knowing me, I won't be away from it too long.
Maybe go through your mind later, but how much thought do you give this? It'll be a different team next year. A lot of these guys you played with today, played with for the last time.
Yeah, that's the tough part, and that's kind of the nature of this business. And I think that's what probably hurts the most is I think this team was probably one of the closest teams I've ever been a part of, and it's not going to be the same. That's how it happens. But I think we have a great core group of guys that understand what it takes to get to these games, to hopefully get to the Super Bowl. So I think, with that being said, yeah, it's tough. It's going to be disappointing once things kind of happen that way.
You touched on it. How do you feel like you guys measure up overall against this team that's the standard setter?
For me personally, I think we can play with any team in the league. But you can't hurt yourself. I think at times today we had some bad penalties, didn't convert third downs again. And when you're playing a good team like New England, it's tough to get in the hole and fight your way out. So, with that being said, I have all the confidence in the world in my teammates and their abilities. I think they've played well all year, and we can play with anyone.
Do you consider this a successful season despite what happened tonight?
man, you're probably going to have to ask me that later. I'm not really feeling that.
Oh, sorry. Leading
into the game, I mean, there was some news coming out of your homeland about that bomb threat. Did you have to deal with anything? Were you dealing with your family?
Not really. I mean, obviously it was a scare, but everyone was good back home, and it kind of came and went.
Did you hear about that throughout the day? Or I mean, I know it's tough to be checking.
Yeah, I mean, obviously just getting text messages, and all my family, my brother, my dad are here in town. So they were obviously getting phone calls and whatnot. But once we found out that it was okay, moved back into my focus on the game.
How much do you marvel about what Grady can do at his age?
Yeah, I mean, he's special for sure. He made a bunch of plays, and he's done it at a high level for quite some time. And, you know, I think being a young guy, you can learn a lot from him and see what he continues to do and how he takes care of his body, how he does all those different things. So, yeah, I mean, you can learn a lot from that guy. And, you know, obviously for me, I'd like to be at that level and hopefully compete and play at that level.
How would you grade your year three and your development in this game?
Again, you're probably going to have to ask me that later. First glance, it was okay. We won some games, didn't play probably at the level that I wanted to throughout the year. But that happens, and I got to learn from it and grow from it, and I will.
What did you like about this season? What do you think you can build off?
Well, I think obviously getting in the playoffs was huge. I thought we won a bunch of games close, whether it was taking a last-minute drive to score. When you're able to get into those tough situations and guys continue to make plays and we're able to win games like that, that just kind of creates that foundation that hopefully you can build off of for years to come.
Appreciate it, Mark.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one. Safe travel.
That was Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota here on Post Game Live, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared Stillman, former Titans receiver Chris Sanders. So we've played Mike Mularkey and Marcus Mariota, which means it's time to load up the phone, 615-737-1025. Any thoughts on the Titans? The season, the coaching staff, the game, the reffing, everything is on the table. You heard Marcus, you heard Mike there, Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver. What was kind of your reaction after hearing Mike Mularkey and Marcus Mariota talk?
They said one word, and it's execute. I mean, the Tennessee Titans didn't execute. You had a team that didn't. You had the Patriots who did, and that's exactly what made the difference. I mean, we can scream about the refs. We can scream about a whole bunch of things. But when it comes down to execution, the Tennessee Titans didn't, and the Patriots did. That's exactly what it was.
And, it was execution across the board. Offense, right. Defense,
no
getting
doubt.
Off the field on third down, the pass rush. I mean, what I want to know is what happened at halftime with the pass rush. The Titans don't touch Tom Brady the entire game, and the Titans give up a franchise record to the Patriots in terms of sacks in a postseason game. Meanwhile, Marcus Mariota, 22 of 37 for 254, two touchdowns, four carries for 37. He was sacked eight times. Eight.
When's the last time that happened?
When's the last time a quarterback got sacked eight times?
No, Mario. I mean, any Titans quarterback in the history of the Titans.
I'm sure Mettenberger got sacked at least.
Not eight times, eight. Though. That's a lot. Mettenberger.
It was not a pretty night. Titans fall to the Patriots, 35-14. That is your final. 615-737-1025. We'll take a break here on Post Game Live. Presented by Park and Fly Nashville on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Second and six. From the 15. Mariota going to the end zone. A one-handed catch by Davis, who did not score a touchdown all regular season. And the rookie, though, finds one here in Foxborough.
Oh, my goodness. This crowd is stunned right now.
That was a CBS call of the touchdown that put up the Titans 7-0 here on Post Game Live, presented by Park and Fly Nashville. Jared Stillman, former Titans receiver Chris Sanders, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Boy, 7-0 feels like it was a long time ago. Patriots win 35-14. So, Chris, yes. I think let's start with this. And the phone lines are open, 615-737-1025. Fans are going to be upset anytime you lose a game. Any game.
Right.
But especially playoff games. We knew coming in the Patriots were huge favorites. They win in a blowout, and fans are going to be upset about the officiating and the coaching. Your thoughts on the two and how fans feel about both. And let's start with the coaching, okay, because I think the fans in this game, I mean, did you think Mike Mularkey was going to go out there and have a game plan that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady in 20 years together had never seen? Like, that just didn't make any sense. But yet, I mean, I'm on Twitter and I see how the fans feel about the coach, and then I see how they manage the clock at the end of the first half. Your thoughts on the coaching from the Titans and how the fans should feel or how they do feel?
I mean, if you look at the whole broad scale, I think the coaches did a great job. And just let me finish when I say this. But Mularkey said some key words. He said, we got out of our scheme. When you get out of your scheme, the coaches can call the players. The players got to make the plays. When you get out of your scheme, that means you got to change everything up. When Conklin went out, they had to change everything up. So I think the coaches put together a good game plan. But when you get out of your scheme, there's different things that you're not accustomed to doing, and that's exactly what happened. So I know everybody's going to blame the coaches. The play calling is terrible, but you do have to change some things when Conklin goes out. So I just think that's the reason why they didn't have the success that they wanted, because they had to get out of their scheme.
I just don't think that this really defines what the Titans coaching is about. I mean, I know a lot of people are going to look at this game and say, see, Jared, I told you Mike Mularkey was no good. But, I mean, you do realize you're in the divisional round against the New England Patriots. You haven't played in the divisional round this decade. Now here you are. You won a playoff game for the first time in 14 years. And I'm not saying that when you hire a coach that you should say, you know what, this is the guy who's gonna lead us to one win in the playoffs. I mean, that's not why you hire a coach. You hire a coach because you want to win the Super Bowl. I think we found out today how far the Titans are away from, honestly, the Super Bowl. I mean, this is how far you are. You're two games away, but you're still, I mean, the personnel on this team 2 years ago was so bad.
It was.
It's hard for me to look at this now and say, you know what, forget about it. They should be competing with the Patriots. I'm just not there yet.
Right. I mean, I agree. I mean, I'm going to go to the YMCA on Monday or Tuesday, and the first thing I'm going to hear is we need to get rid of the coach and all that stuff. But you got to understand something. You can go out and get all kind of coaches and put a coach in. If he's not a good fit, it's not going to work. And if you look at this Tennessee Titans team, they love Mularkey. They play for him. They want to see him be successful because he's a player's coach. If you bring somebody in, I'm going to throw a name out there, Wisenhunt. That wasn't a good fit. Big name, but wasn't a good fit. So everybody wants to scream and get rid of Mularkey and get rid of this person. But if you bring a person in and you start to dibble dally and change the culture of that team, then it messes all the things up on what Mularkey built.
I mean, I'm just reading some of the tweets on Twitter.
It's unbelievable.
Ryan says, no way to sell our fan base. Mularkey is a good enough coach, period.
Come on, man.
I don't care they won a playoff game. I kind of do.
Whoa, say that again. They didn't want a playoff what?
He says he doesn't care that they won a playoff game.
There's some teams ain't even in the playoffs, and the Tennessee Titans are in the playoffs.
Well, you've been not in the playoffs for a long time.
Right.
I mean, I always wonder, like, what are you expecting? Like, if you send a kid to school in the first grade, do you expect them to be doing long division 6 months? Well, I sent you to school. I mean, I think that these things take time, and they've been so mismanaged prior to Mike Mularkey and prior to John Robinson that, I mean, he doesn't have a stacked deck. Belichick's got the truth is every single strength that the Patriots have is a weakness for the Titans. The quarterback's got a quick release. That's a weakness for the Titans. The tight end, you can't match him up. That's a weakness to the Titans. The running backs. The Titans were the worst team in the NFL all season against running backs. Why? Because they're not very fast. So the Patriots are one of the best teams in the league in passing to the running backs. Mm-hmm. This was a bad matchup. And then you add on the officiating on top of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the officiating is what, in my mind, did them in. At the end, they were going to lose no matter what. I don't think they lost because of officiating. Mm-hmm. But any chance they had to win this game, in my mind, it went by the wayside with the officiating.
But the players still got to make the plays, and I agree with you. I mean, I know there were some bad calls, but the thing about it is, at the end of the day –
No, I get
that. No, I know what you're saying. I'm just giving you a little coach talk. I mean, at the end of the day, the players got to make the you got to overcome adversity, and that's what the Tennessee Titans have done. You know, earlier in the season to now, they learned how to overcome adversity in certain situations. In this game, they had early adversity, and you just got to overcome it, because you better believe, man, when the New England Patriots, who is a mature team, and I'm not saying the Tennessee Titans are not going to get there, but when you have a mature team and they have adversity hit them, they say, you know what, we're going to figure out a way to get a first down, even if it's 3rd and 15 or it's 2nd and 10. We're going to figure out a way to do it in spite of that adversity that we face.
And I'll go back to that adversity on that front. Titans march 11 plays, go 95 yards for a touchdown. They go up 7-0. New England scores a touchdown on the following drive, 7 plays, 73 yards to tie it at 7-7. And that was when Brady really just started figuring out right. to go to the running backs. Next drive for the Titans, 3 plays minus See? 4 yards.
See?
I mean, you've got to be able to answer the bell. Patriots go down, score a touchdown. Titans go 3 and out, punt to New England, and then the next drive was the what I thought was the game breaker, like the game changing penalty, where they called Brennan Trowick for forcing the flinch of the on the punt, which I thought was a terrible call. I mean, you have Romo and Nance up there, just watching the replay. It looked ridiculous. And again, I'm not saying officiating cost them this game. But when the deck is already stacked against you, you can't – I mean, the officiating, you can't overcome that. Like, the Titans are not a good enough football team to overcome that officiating against the Patriots. They're just not good enough.
But you still have to be a disciplined team. I mean, I know that's coach talk and everybody's saying that that guy moves, whatever, whatever. But – you shouldn't jump regardless. I mean, you shouldn't jump.
Yeah, just look at the ball.
Just look at the ball. So if he moved, the refs are going to call it because he's the only guy that's moving. But if you jump and then he moves, then you broke the plane. They have to call it on that guy. I mean, it is what it is. If you don't jump and that guy jumps, they get the penalty.
Right, but I think that guy jumped first. I think that's the problem.
No, he wasn't even looking at him.
See, I think their guy jumped first, though. I think their guy jumped, and that was – that was, I think, what led to it.
Yeah, but see, he was looking at the center because the center lifted his head and then he jumped. But the center can do that.
I don't think Trowick was in the neutral zone. I saw it was a bad call.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and then you heard Malarkey's response to the Decker one saying
that was a bad call. That
was
a bad
one of the all-timers that will go down in history. No. I do have one thing, though, that I think bothers me with Mike Malarkey, and it – you know, at some point, it's got to be addressed. All season, we heard, well, you know, if we put together a 60-minute game, then we will go out there and we will. Well, you didn't put together a 60-minute game, and it was never going to happen this season. You kept talking about it, but it was never going to happen. And I wonder if Mike Malarkey had unrealistic expectations, or if Mike Malarkey wasn't, you know, good enough this season at coaching them to play that 60-minute game. Where was that 60-minute game? They had to have it today, didn't have it today. By any means, they did not have it today, and they didn't have it the whole season.
Yeah, man, and that's the difference between the Patriots and the Tennessee Titans. You have a team that's been consistent in the running game, consistent in the passing game, consistent in special teams, consistent in everything that they did. And now you have the Tennessee Titans that were consistent on one drive. Then the next drive, they have a penalty. Then on special teams, you have a guy, you have a Dory that muffs a punt against I think it was against Kansas City. So things like that, you're not consistent all over the board. But then you look at the Patriots and you wonder why they're so good, why they're going to the next round, why do they win every year? It's because they're consistent all over the board. They're consistent on offense. They're consistent on defense. They're consistent in coaching. And they establish an identity, and they stay with the identity throughout the whole season.
Let's get some more of your phone calls. 615-737-1025. Quick reaction from the locker room. Taylor Lewan saying, and let me pull it up. Taylor Lewan says, and this is according to Jason Wolf of the Tennessean, quote, as an offense, I'll be the first to say we underachieved this year. Taylor Lewan also upset with the officiating. Troy Brown, by the way, the former Patriots receiver, I guess is an analyst on in Boston. And he basically came out and said that those penalty calls broke the Titans back in this football game. And I have to agree with him. I mean, I think it was kind of neck and neck. You knew you were the underdog. But then those penalties, I mean, it was just too much for the Titans to overcome.
I think so, too. I think the one that hurt the most, you talked about a little earlier, is the Decker one. I mean, I'm not going to criticize the refs. I'm just going to say it was a bad call, because it was a bad call, because as a receiver, you can use your hands and do a swim move, because that's what we do to get open. And I just think that if the refs would have saw that and just kind of wait a little bit more, they would have saw actually what really happened.
Well, and on the next drive, too, you know, they throw a third down pass to Gronk. Mm-hmm. Gronk is hand fighting with Byard, mm-hmm. basically pushes Byard off, comes back to the ball, catches the ball. I mean, if you're going to call it on Decker, you got to call it on Gronk.
But see, here's the thing. If you look at what makes Gronk so good is he doesn't extend. So he's close to their body, and he's pushing off a little bit, and the refs can't see that. Now you have Decker that when he did the swim move, it's like he's pushing off, and that's exactly what the refs are saying. So if you keep it in tight, they're not going to call it. But if they see those arms extend, that's when they're going to call it, and that's why they called Decker.
615-737-1025. Get those phone calls in. We'll get to more of your calls. It is former Titans receiver Chris Sanders. I'm Jared Stillman. This is Post Game Live, presented by Park and Fly Nashville on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Motion someone in, see if it's man or zone.
Find a little shuffle pass to White, and he dives across for the touchdown.
That was from CBS. That was the James White touchdown, although there were two of them. I mean, I feel like White is just a postseason performer for the New England Patriots. Post Game Live, presented by Park and Fly Nashville. Jared Stillman, former Titans receiver Chris Sanders. I mean, you know, before we get too caught up in it, and we get back to your phones in a second, before we get too caught up in it, I mean, Tom Brady, he's 40 years old, but at the end of the day, Tom Brady, 35 of 53, 337, three touchdowns, and he was not sacked once.
Man, he's just a guy that, you know, at first I wasn't a Brady fan. But I am a Brady fan. The reason why I say this is because look at where he's come from. You know, he went to Michigan. I don't like Michigan. And before he went into the draft, the combine, they said he'll never be a great quarterback. They said he's too out of shape, his arm strength. And look at, he fought to be one of the best quarterbacks of all time. He mastered his craft, and he plays with an edge every single game, and that's why I have mad respect for him.
Let's go back to your phones on Post Game Live, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Patrick is up next here on Post Game Live. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hey, Jared, thanks for having me on today, and thanks for having me. And, you know, I thought the officiating was a little difficult, like you were saying, and I am a Patriots fan. I've tweeted at you a few times, but I think, like, I'm sorry, is it Chris that's on the other line
yes.
with
yes.
us? Like you were saying, like, at the end of the day, you just got to execute, and, you know, being a Patriots fan, we're fortunate enough to see that. The reason why I'm calling is because in college, Adoree Jackson did a lot on the offense for USC. Do you think that could ever fit into the game plan for the Titans? Because I think that's something they're missing, is something out of the backfield like that. Because if you look at Deion Lewis, that's like what he does for Tom Brady. He's like his check down guy. I feel like Mariota's missing that guy he can trust.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting take. Patrick, I appreciate your call. I don't think it's going to be a Dory.
Yeah.
But I do agree. I do think the Titans need a speed back to compliment Henry, because Murray with a $6 million cap number, I don't think he's coming back.
Yeah, but they did that early in the season when it went Adoree was in the backfield when they went 20 personnel.
Oh, no, they used yeah. him out there. But you can't use your – I mean, I think Adoree's yeah. really good at corner.
He is. So I think he is, too.
Can you use your number one or number two corner as on offense while also playing special teams?
But you got to put him in at the right time. I mean, you got to catch the defense off balance, because if you come in the game, they know he's going to get the ball. So I think you use him in those speed sweeps or do those quick screens to get him the ball, and because he's good in space. But when running routes – teach him how to run routes before you put him in one of the biggest games like what happened in San Francisco.
Jamie says on Twitter, I'm proud of what Mike Mularkey has done with the franchise. Robiski and the offensive staff have to go. Can't send the message to fans that this year's offense is acceptable. Do you stand by that, or how do you feel when you hear fans basically saying today that they've had enough of Terry Robiski, they've had enough of the offensive staff, and they want to see a change with the offensive coaches?
Let me ask you, who are we going to get, though? I mean, everybody wants to fire the coach. Who are we going to get?
I already told you earlier today.
I think
Tom Clements,
okay.
who was Mike Mularkey's offensive coordinator in Buffalo, okay. who was the quarterback's coach in Pittsburgh when Mike was the offensive
okay.
coordinator.
I agree.
Tom Clements was the offensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers. He got fired after last season. I would think that Tom Clements, who's out of football right now, if you were to ask me right now, who you'd rather have, Tom Clements I think the fans would take Tom Clements over Terry Robiskie. Now, it's not fair to say what Tom Clements did with Aaron Rodgers is what you're going to get out of Marcus Mariota because you hired Tom Clements. But Tom Clements' last quarterback was Aaron Rodgers, and Tom Clements did have a lot of success. So to answer your question, I mean, I think there's a lot of offensive coaches who would want to come coach Marcus Mariota. The question is, does Mike Mularkey want other offensive coaches coaching Marcus Mariota?
Well, let me ask you a question. I'm going to throw the scenario out to you. Do you think – I don't even know why I'm saying this, but do you think Josh McDaniels would come in and be the OC for a year?
No.
And then the next year maybe be the head coach? I'm just saying.
No.
What do you think? You don't think – why? What if he said, I want you to come in and be and work with Mariota and you be the OC and we'll pay you just as much as a head coach? You don't think he would?
You think Mike would – you think Mike would be okay with hiring a guy that you've promised to be the head coach next year?
No, I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there.
I mean, has that ever happened in the NFL before?
Nah, but I'm just saying. I mean, I've seen some crazy things happen in the NFL. I'm telling you. You've seen some goofy stuff. So I wouldn't look past saying, you know, I'm not saying I want him in, but they might say we want Josh McDaniels to come in and work with Mariota. You just never know.
Yeah, I think Josh is going to go be the head coach of the Colts. So I don't.
No.
You know, if you're going to go be head coach of the Colts, why would well, if you're going to go be head coach of the Colts, why would you come in to be offensive coordinator for a year to then be head coach, but the head coach wouldn't be? That doesn't make any sense. To answer your question, there's a lot of guys out there. I mean, anybody right now, Chris Sanders being the offensive coordinator, I think would appease the fans.
We throwing the ball all day, baby.
With Terry Robiskie. I mean, I think the truth is the fans are done with Terry Robiskie. Now, I don't know what that means. I mean, the truth is Mike brought in all these old guys that have coached with him before because he knew they were going to coach how Mike wants them to coach.
Okay, another scenario I'm going to throw out. And I know everybody doesn't like Robiskie, but I was at Robiskie when I went to the Cleveland Browns and he was the wide receiver coach. I know Mularkey's really loyal to his coaches. Maybe put him at the receiver position and then bring in the offensive coordinator. What do you think about that?
Say that again.
Okay. You know, Robiskie was a wide receiver coach at the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he was in Atlanta when he had Julio Jones and all those guys. What about maybe putting him at the wide receiver position and then bringing a different OC?
So you're going to demote him?
I'm not saying it's a demotion, but just
– I mean, that's a demotion.
Maybe
if you go from vice president to speaker of the House, that is a demotion.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody's not an OC, and I'm not saying he's not an OC, and everybody's not a head coach. A lot of people are position coaches. Just like I coach football at Montgomery Bell Academy, I know my specialty. I'm a wide receiver coach. I'm not a special teams coach. I'm not a head coach. I know that I'm a wide receiver coach. Maybe Robiskie is a wide receiver coach instead of an OC. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
And I'm not against that if that's the case. I'm not against that. Again,
come on, man.
I don't think it's very likely. Right. I mean, I think when you hire these guys to multi-year contracts, the deal is the deal. And if you don't pay them, I mean, you got to pay them if you fire them, but you're not going to demote them, pay them less money, and then usually be okay.
Let me give you a perfect example with Jeff Fisher with Alan Lowry. Alan Lowry went from special team coach to wide receiver coach to back to special teams. So it all depends on can your pride take it? Or do you want to do that position? So just like Alan Lowry did, he said, "You know what? I just want to be here coaching. I'll take receivers and then I'll go back to special teams." And I'm telling you, anything can happen.
Anything's possible. The other question too: Dick LeBeau's going to be 81 years old. I mean, how much longer does Dick LeBeau plan on coaching for?
About another 20 years. He's going to be 100 out there coaching. But man, he's still good at what he does.
But is he going to want to come back now?
Why you don't think he would want to come back?
Because he's old.
Yeah, but he's still enjoying coaching and still enjoying his guys. And you can see on his face that he loves being out there. He looks young. He doesn't look 81. He looks like maybe 65. But he just enjoys what he does. He loves his players. I mean, he's a great communicator. And the one thing I love that he is, he's a great teacher of the game. So if he's not tired or fatigued, keep teaching this defense because you start adding more pieces, next thing you'll see yourself ending up in a Super Bowl.
See, that's why I think the Titans, like if we're talking about the draft, I think the Titans next year have got to look just fast defensive players.
You got to have a dog that's a defensive end. He's got to be a dog. And when I say a dog, that means a guy that you can't block like a Clowney or who else?
Javon Kurse.
But that's what changed our game in 1999. We had the core pieces on offense and defense. When you add a guy like Samari Rowe, Javon Kurse, added to some veteran guys that have been playing, I'm telling you, it just changes the dynamics of everything.
And they're going to have to get more out of this year's draft class next season.
But
like
five
they're going to need more
played,
out of Davis. They're going to need more out of Jonnu Smith. They're going to need more out of Taywan Taylor.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to need more out of this year's draft class than they got this year next year.
I think Davis is going to be a Pro Bowl receiver. The reason why I say you know why I say that? Because if you look at in preseason or in camp, he's been hurt the whole time. And I'm not saying that he had a great season, but we saw some signs tonight on what this kid can do. I know we just caught the long ball and caught it out, but once he understands how to run routes and how to get the guy off the spot and stacking him and doing all that stuff, it's going to take his game to another level. But if he stays healthy in camp, preseason, and value that time with the quarterback, Mariota, then he gets confidence and he plays with confidence.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, post-game live on ESPN 1025, the game presented by Park and Fly Nashville, former Titans receiver Chris Sanders. I'm Jared Stillman. Coming up next, though, we'll ask two questions. One, how will we feel when the anger subsides about the big loss? And then secondly, and maybe more importantly, how far really away are the Titans from competing for a Super Bowl? We will get to that next. It's Post Game Live on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Park and Fly Nashville.
Fourth down, and they're bringing it. Got it away to the end zone, and it is caught. That's a touchdown. Davis gets his second on the night.
That was Jim Nantz on CBS. The Titans getting the 14. It was 35-7. It's final 35-14. The Titans season ends 10-8 on the season. Although they did make it to the divisional round of the playoffs, where they, of course, lost 35-14. To the eventual Super Bowl champion New England Patriots tonight in Foxborough. NFL playoffs live on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Park and Fly Nashville, former Titans receiver Chris Sanders. I'm Jared Stillman. All right, Chris, this is where we start kind of our final segment.
All right.
The question is, now we saw them play against the Patriots. Mm-hmm. How far away from competing for a Super Bowl are the Titans? 2 years ago, they were the worst team in the league.
Right.
At 3-13. Last year, 9-7, barely missed the playoffs. This year, 9-7 in the playoffs, win a playoff game, go to New England, get housed. In your mind, you were on the team 8-8, 8-8, 8-8, Super Bowl. How far away is this team from being able to compete?
I think they're a couple of years. And when I say that, if you look at in 1999 before, just like you said, we were 8-8, 8-8, 8-8. And then you start adding players like Samari Rowe, Javon Kearse, guys like that, and Josh Evans, who was undrafted. And when you start adding, you know, pieces to the puzzle, I mean, it just makes a difference. And I mean, you don't just get guys that are just guys. You got to get guys that are difference makers. And I think if we get a difference maker at DN, I mean, we're right in the mix. That's just causes havoc. And if you get guys like that that cause havoc and not just guys, I think they're about 1 or 2 years away.
And I think the key to some of that, too, is some of the guys they've drafted high in the John Robinson years. You know, John Robinson gets a lot of credit, but some of the guys that they've drafted high are going to have to start playing like it. Dodd and Austin Johnson and Derrick Henry.
He's gone.
Which one?
Dodd's.
Why? Because he sucks?
No, because I'm not saying that. Not that he's bad. He keeps getting hurt. And to stay in this league, it's not about your talent sometimes. It's about can you stay on the doggone field. And I just think that with him constantly being hurt, they're gonna find a different guy to take his position.
See, I don't think fans want to hear they're a couple years away. I think they want to hear, you know, a year away, two right. years away. I mean, they don't want to hear – you know, hey, wait till 2021.
No, but still, you still got something to build on. Just like what Mariota said, he said, yeah, we lost and everything. And when he's talking about building, that means you got to add some key elements. And just like when 1999, you know, we added Javon and those guys, it's kind of like having a fire already burning and add fuel to it. And when you add fuel to a fire like that, then now something can happen. And I think if the Tennessee Titans do that, I think they'll be okay.
See, I actually think the Titans have a shot to be contenders next year.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
I mean, I look at the big picture. I don't think Mariota, and I think today was a good example.
Yeah.
Was Mariota bad today?
No.
I thought Mariota made a lot of nice throws. Mm-hmm. But when Mariota got sacked 5 times in a row, he looked pretty pitiful right. because he had no time, and as soon as he dropped back, he was sacked. And I think there was a lot of letting down that happened to him mm-hmm. from the offensive line and from right. the receivers this season. And they've got to get that fixed. And they're going to have to get more out of the guys they've drafted. They're going to have to get more out of Henry next year because they're probably not going to bring DeMarco Murray
right,
back.
Yep.
They're going to have to get more out of Dodd if he comes back. They're going to have to get more out of Austin Johnson and Jonnu Smith and Taywan Taylor, and the guys that they drafted high in the drafts. I mean, right now, John Robinson, and everybody gives him a ton of credit. The only guys he's drafted very high that are playing well are Jack Conklin and Adoree Jackson.
Yeah.
Byard was a third-round pick. I mean, I'm talking about a little bit before the third round, but if you want to throw Byard in the mix, fine. You're going to have to get more from the guys you draft high. Your pick this year will be what, 22nd, yeah. 23rd, or something like that? Yeah. So it's not going to be a premium pick in the first round. So the Titans are going to have to make hay with that. They're going to have to get better from a lot of the different spots this season if they want to be able to perform. And, they've drafted two DNs. So they you're saying they need a DN to come in here? Well, they drafted two of them last year.
Yeah, but they need a dog to come in that's just going to wreck shop to where when you put him anywhere on the field that he's causing havoc. Who caused havoc? I mean, Arakpo caused havoc sometimes. Morgan caused havoc sometimes. But you want a cat that is deliberately on every single play this wrecking shop. And I think that if you get a guy like that, I mean, just like when they played the Houston, when we played the Houston Texans, who do we talk about?
Clowney. And Merciless and Watt and all
right.
those guys.
Right, those are they wreck shop. You got to get some guys that are not just players, but you got to get some guys and keep the core nucleus together, but you got to get some guys to add with them that are wrecking shop.
When this subsides, when the blowout, you know, when the feeling of getting housed on national TV by New England kind of moves on, which – look, you're not the first team to go into New England in a divisional playoff and get smoked. In fact, the truth is, most teams that go in there in the divisional round of the playoffs get smoked. So when this all subsides, how do you think people should feel about the 2017 Titans season?
I think they should be really proud. I mean, I know everybody kind of gets on Malarkey and kind of, you know, gets mad at him, but he took a team that was in disarray. He took a team that had no purpose. He took a team that had no vision, a team that had nothing going for itself, to changing this and giving this team an identity and giving this team purpose and giving this team relevant. Because a couple of years ago, about 3 years ago, we were the laughing stock of the NFL. I mean, it was the guys that were out there, it wasn't a team, it was just a whole bunch of individuals. And I think that Malarkey did a great job by bringing this team together, giving them an identity and giving them purpose. So I just think that Mariota said in his interview, he said it's something to build on. And that's what we got to look as fans, as coaches. This is something to build on for the future.
I think fans, for some reason, aren't going to like that, though. You know, like, I think fans are going to look at it, like, right. Because, and no offense, I think the Titans maxed out their season. I said at the start of the year, my hope for the 2017 season for the Titans was to win the division, which they didn't do, but they made the playoffs, make the playoffs, and end up on the opposite side of the bracket of New England.
Right.
So that you could then go to New England in an AFC championship game, and we could all feel good about the fact that they made the AFC championship game. I never anticipated that they'd be good enough to beat the New England Patriots. So I'm not too down on it right now, but I think a lot of people will. And when you say something along the lines of the way I feel right now, which is good season, Titans. Yeah. You know, I mean, this is probably as far as we thought you all could get. People are then going to say, well, that's loser talk saying good season, Titans. And I mean, that's just how I feel. You're playing the greatest quarterback, greatest coach of all time, and you're 2 years removed from being the worst team in the league. And honestly, even though you've got some nice players, you really don't have that good of a team.
Yeah, I think sometimes we got to look back, and I think in 1999 we got a little spoiled because when we first got in our stadium, what do? We went to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So you can't really measure that team or that time now. When we get to the playoffs, that we just automatically go into the Super Bowl because it's so hard to get. And, you know, I think, too, that we just got to keep these nucleus of players together and not blow up the whole thing and blow up all the whole staff. Because if you blow up the whole staff and blow up all the players, then you got to start completely over. And I just think that, you know, yes, it was a great year, but now you got to build on what you have now and keep that nucleus of players together.
What do you do about the coaches?
Which one?
Well, let's go with that. We know the head coach is coming back.
Yeah, he's coming back.
So let's go with the two coordinators.
I mean, I think the offensive coordinator, I don't know. I mean, I know people screaming for him to get out of the way, but I think that you still find him a position. I mean, I know he coached wide receivers with the Cleveland Browns, and he coached with the Atlanta Falcons. I just think that you don't just want to just let him go completely, find a role for him, but I do think you maybe get a different offensive coordinator in that situation. I think with LeBeau, I think you keep LeBeau because, man, the defense was balling this year. And I think that the only way you let him go is if he wants to call it quits. I just think you don't want to start blowing everything up, because when you start blowing everything up, then you bring all these different philosophies in, and then you got to change the whole culture all over again.
The Titans season ends tonight by a final score of 35-14 at the hands of the New England Patriots. And I already said it. The eventual Super Bowl champion New England Patriots. Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver. It was a lot of fun this year. A lot of fun during the playoffs. A lot of fun having you with us, as always. I mean, it was a blast.
It was. Thank you, my friend.
That's going to do it for us on Post Game Live. Of course, I'll be back 2 o'clock on Monday with the GM, Floyd Reese. We will be breaking down this game, plus where the Titans go from here. For former Titans receiver Chris Sanders, I'm Jared Stillman. This has been NFL Playoffs Live, Post Game Live, presented by Park and Fly Nashville on ESPN 102.5 The Game.